Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Really, Dominic?
Good evening, Bond fans. I'm your host, Tom Pickup. Welcome to another special episode on the Really 007 podcast, a best of, one of the best of collections. And this time we'll be looking at James Bond's best allies, but an asterisk next to that, not including Felix, who we'll cover in a special of his own, and not including, you know, M, Moneypenny, Charles Robinson, etc., etc., and the other 009. Agents. Sorry, double O agents. Always think of 009 because of Octopussy.
Yeah. Obsessed with Octopussy. Obsessed, yeah.
Yes, so thank you for joining in, and you can join in online. We will, of course, tweet out things when the episode is released, and we'll do another one of our knockout tournaments on Twitter. So join us there. Join us on the other social media platforms we're on, Facebook and Instagram. Search for Really 007 and join in the conversation. You can also, of course, find us and listen in on iTunes, Spotify. We've got our YouTube channel now up and running. And we're also on the Pod Dojo Network, and that's the website, the go-to website for everything, including details of our other network podcasts. Keep sharing our episodes, and once again, thank you for rating and recommending us. Tonight, I'm going to give a shout-out to an American fan called Miller Time. Now, I don't know what his real name is, but he's been a bit of a legend on Twitter. Not only sticking up for this podcast with his views on one of the James Bonds, one of the actors who played James Bond, shares similar opinions to us. But yeah, thank you, Mr. Miller. I think he's American, and I'm hoping he's named after Reggie Miller. I did live in Indiana for a little bit, and I went to some of the games. So good lad. Indiana Pacers, for the British audience who might be lost. Basketball. So, even without Felix, we've got loads to talk about tonight, and we've got on board regular contributors, Math Pickup, we've also got John Kell, and we've also got Chris Goldie. So, three of the original hardcore team here tonight. Right. Ever since Bond touched down in Jamaica in Dr. No on his very first mission, he needed an array of allies to help him. And of course, we had Quarrel in that film. Doesn't seem to need them as much in these days, but we will get onto that too. Anyway, aside, like I say, from his bosses and his co-workers at MI6, he's relied on local aides, secret agents, gangsters, Valentin Zhukovsky, of course, and even civilians. These colourful characters have lit up the franchise, and we will give them our full attention tonight. Now, how does someone qualify as a James Bond ally? This is a debate in itself, perhaps, that very few people are having in the world these days. In his jet-setting missions, he usually meets like a local contact, doesn't he, of some sort. You've got from the country's equivalent, so of course, in From Russia With Love. He meets Karen Bay from Station I. But although with Enders, he meets Vijay and Sadruddin, Station I for India. So trying to remember what it was now. Istanbul and India, yeah. Basically the equivalent of MI6. And sometimes they are actually working for MI6, but of course they're agents abroad in these away matches, these big away games. So some of Bond's allies are often suspected of turning sides. Matthews is probably the best example of this, where he was pretty harshly treated. We will get into bigger detail of Rob's favourite ally. Although Rob's not got an issue with him, it's just the treatment of him, isn't it? He's treated quite badly in Casino Royale, if you think about it, because he was wrongly suspected.
Yeah, he is.
And yeah, the next paragraph I could say about a bin and a wallet and all that. I don't need to say that yet. Anyway, those who...
We'll get on to that.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. You don't go away empty-handed, unless you're Mathis, where your wallet is actually taken from you. Yes, the people who didn't make the list under my definition, we've got a few allies you might be expected to come up with. So, obviously, M, Moneypenny, Miss Smallbone, I'm sure you were all expecting her to feature very highly. Sir Hilary Bray... I mean, he could be, possibly, do you think? I mean, John might throw him into the hat, but he's more just an expert. I don't want experts, so I've not... I mean, we love, you know, especially we want Jim Fanning. I'd love to talk about Jim Fanning, but maybe we could do best experts. And so, you've got... what's the chapter?
Does Tibbet cross over to the...
Oh, we'll have Tibbet tonight. We'll let him, yeah.
Yeah,
but Jim Fanning and... what's his name? Colthorpe, famously, in The Man with the Golden Gun. Yeah. What's his name in Diamonds, the legend at the start?
Sir Donald,
yeah. Mungler, is it? I think, yeah, something like that.
He's a good lad.
But he's not really an ally, you know. He's paid as an expert, so it's not really... Yeah. Freddie Gray, Bill Tanner, I'm sure we'll have specials on all these dudes. And the other 00 agents, yes. Encouraging. Best allies, Alec Trevelyan... And so so we don't spoil it for the people who haven't seen GoldenEye, or they only seen the first half. Yeah, John, would it be the time for the quiz?
It certainly would be. What are we going to do? Obviously, we're doing an Allies special. So I have picked 7 actors' names. I'm going to say the actor's name, and it is the first person to let us know who they played, which ally they played in the Bond series. I'm going to be honest with you. I've just looked these up. Out of the 7, I'd heard of 2 of them. So we'll see how they...
Bodes well.
So we're going to... As usual, we have a buzzer, me and my love for Majesties, and we're going to be talking a lot about Marc-Ange Draco tonight. So it's certainly going to be Mercy Flight! That's what I want to hear is the... Mercy Flight! Tell Geneva, tell Red Cross. So good.
Do we need that, the whole phrase, or just Mercy Flight? Or...
If you want to get the whole phrase, I might give the bonus points out if you want it. Yeah. So, babyishly, I'll start with number 1.
Draco.
Who does?
I don't know.
He was already. Number 1, John Marino.
Mercy Flight.
Go on, Tom.
Yes, I didn't know this until recently. I think he's... I don't know whether he's real name's Juan as well, but it's Luigi Ferrara.
It is Luigi Ferrari.
Loveliest man on the show. Yeah. The loveliest man.
Yeah. Okay, number 2. Edward D'Souza.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable. Do you want the film?
Oh, go on.
Or do you want the James Bond actor, and then you can narrow it down a bit?
I'm not confident that the actor will help. George Lazenby, yeah.
Let's just say Lazenby. Yeah. No, yeah. Right. No, the film is The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mercy Flight, based on my notes for this episode. I think, John, is it When One Is in the Orient, One Must... Is it that guy? The guy in the tent.
There it is.
Yeah.
It is it. Hussein, who I would never put on this list, but since since he's been given.
Well, he's a famous ally. He's exactly what we're talking about. He needs him.
Hussein.
James.
All right, I'll give you that one.
So does England.
Nice and easy one. Grandel Bush.
Oh,
I forgot his name.
we'll cut this out. I think I know it, but if I get it wrong, I'll say Mercy Flight then, John.
Go on, Tom.
Yeah, I was going to say Dawkins, but I'd have remembered that if it was Richard Dawkins. I think it's Hawkins, is it?
It is Hawkins.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I feel guilty ever contacting Grandel to say we loved your performance as Hawkins on the
tonight. The quiz is six names for famous.
Number four, Gabriel Fazetti.
I'm sorry, John.
Dear me,
I've made this way too hard.
No.
I'm really interested to see who it is. Sounds Italian. Is that a clue?
Yeah.
I'd say it's a clue, yeah.
Name the film, maybe?
Honor Majesty's Secret
Service. Oh, right.
It's Draco.
Yeah, Mercy Flight.
We're not looking very expert here, are we, to be honest?
No. We need an expert.
We might have to edit this quiz.
Yeah, we're not proper Bond fans, according to some people on Twitter, though. So.
Yeah, I know.
Number five, babyish one, this. Tetsuro Tambo.
Mercy Fly! Tiger Tanaka.
Tiger Tanaka, there we go, yeah.
Very good.
3-1-1. Okay, two left. Number six, Lon Saturn.
What a name.
I'm just going to IMDb that and make sure that's not a typo. And it's not Len Saturn.
Saturn, as in the planet?
S-A-T-T-O-N. And it is Lon. L-O-N-S-A-T-T-O-N. I'll give you the film. Live and Let Die.
I think I'm so sad. I think I might know it. But if somebody else wants to say Mercy Flight, please.
I can't... I'm trying to think of the CIA agent.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not him.
I think that's who I'm thinking of.
But then, what about Charlie?
I'm going to Mercy Fly. Is it Quarrel Jr.?
It's not Chris, no.
I think I know who it is, John, but I don't know the name of his character. That's my problem.
I can't really condemn you for that, because when I put this together, I put CIA guy, didn't I? It's Harold Strick.
Oh, yes, of course. It's a really good name, that.
White Man in Harlem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greatest guys, man.
And the final one of this quiz, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, I apologise, but Jean Rougerie.
Oh, yeah, I think I know this.
Mercy Flat.
Go on, Chris.
Is it
Since you were paying for the bill.
Brilliant.
We all know.
I baby. I don't know who won that quiz. I think Tom.
I think
it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John. I have had a bit of an advance. I wouldn't have known any of those until I'd planned this episode, if I'm honest. So dear me. Right, thank you very much, John. Superb. Like I said, we will always do things chronologically. It's quite nice because it just makes you think how the franchise has sort of adapted and changed throughout the years. And yeah, I watched Doctor No quite recently again, and it's just so fresh and innovative and a real joy, I think, from start to finish. A really, really great watch. And probably one that kids could watch. I don't know, has Ernie seen that one yet, Chris?
It hasn't, and that's more to do with the pacing of it, because it is like he is being a detective. It's less the bangs and explosions and things. But I think it's suitable, you know. For
I think we watched it as kids,
like,
didn't we?
During the day, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember being quite scared of the spider. Scared of the concept of the dragon, but then obviously it's...
Yeah. You
know, spoiler alert, it's not a... it's not a dragon, real dragon.
You know, 1962 has been probably safe from spoilers now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only a spoiler if you haven't seen it, right? Yeah, so Quarrel is the first big ally in the James Bond series. He's a Cayman Islander, apparently, living in Jamaica, so he isn't even Jamaican. So. He's in the novel Live and Let Die. I think it's Steve Clamp who's saying every single character and storyline seems to come from Live and Let Die. They don't. No, obviously, License to Kill took a lot of it, didn't it? But yeah. Yeah, that's when he helps him when he's investigating Mr. Big. So, obviously, when it came to Live and Let Die, the film, they got Quarrel Jr., didn't they? His son. Although it never says his son, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he actually says it, does he?
Just so not on the nose, you know. It's just so well done. Later appears in the novel Dr. No, so he's actually in two novels, which is quite crisp, to help Bond infiltrate Crab Key, which, of course, he does... in the film. But in the films, he's only in Dr. No, and he's played by a guy called John Kitzmiller, who was the first black actor to win Best Actor at Cannes. Another pioneering role. He was American. Again, it seems to happen a lot, particularly with a lot of the people we mentioned. He died only 3 years after Dr. No. And I think might have only been in his late 50s, early 60s, yeah. And exactly like in the novel, like we've mentioned, he is killed by Dr. No's dragon, which, of course... is the flamethrower vehicle. That's pretty terrifying, definitely, as kids. I'll start with Chris, because I know Chris is a... I think in our, you know, mythical rankings, I think you put Dr. No probably the highest out of the six of us. Mm. And I think we all feel bad for not putting it higher, probably.
Yeah. No, I think he's a great character, because it starts off with... You don't know whether to trust him or not. And neither does Bond.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of turns up and he sort of follows him, and then he pulls a knife on him and they have that scrap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, yeah.
With the boxes.
Yeah,
the boxes,
yeah.
Chris? Is that with
Pussfella?
Pussfella. Is that the other?
Yeah.
Pussfella.
Is he an ally? That's
a great name. Don't care tonight. To say Pussfella.
Yeah, it's just a funny name.
Crab Key scares me plenty. Friends of mine went out there once after seashells. Only trouble. They never came back again.
None of the local fishermen will get near the place.
Commander Strangways and me, we slip in at night. He takes some samples. We came straight back again. Don't do for a man to hang about there.
But yeah, like Paul's has a massive scrap, and then gets, which is one of the horrific scenes of the film, gets one of the bulbs shoved in his face by the...
Oh, yeah.
It's just like... It's horrible, really horrible scene.
Unpleasant.
I think as an actor, I think he's great. He's as soon as you find out that he's actually an ally, he's so likable. Yeah. And prior to that, he's compelling, and you like I say, you're not too sure whether you can trust him or not. But really likable, horrible death that actually feels
awful.
You know, it's not like he's not just a throwaway
sacrificial lamb,
you know, ally.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly. There's so many of them in the Bond films, but for him, you know, his death actually means something. You can see it actually affects Bond, even the short time that he's known him. He is, you know, has a relationship with him.
Okay, Captain, if that ain't a dragon, what is it?
A dragon that runs on diesel engines. You can forget the spook squirrel. When it gets within range, you take the driver. I'll take the headlights and the tires. You keep safe out of sight.
Quarrel is actually useful as well. He has local knowledge and he helps him out. And, you know, he helps them hide when the guards are coming, don't they, with the bamboo. He sort of shows them how to breathe underwater.
Yeah.
So he's just not there to sort of like point to things or tell Bond what to do. So he's always struck me as a great ally for those reasons, because every time I watch it, I think, is he a goodie or not? Or just, he's such a great character.
Great point. They're well-realised characters, aren't they? I think on the Bond Girls episode, Jess was mentioning about Honey Rider that, you know, it's not just some girl who happens to be there who's pretty and, you know, she's got a proper background. And obviously, in the book, it goes into much more detail, but the sort of people who would be there...
It just goes to
You know, the sort of ground, aren't
you? And I think it just goes to show that when it comes to the, obviously they're coming from, you know, the source material, which is this, you can go into much more depth with the book, but just a throwaway line here and there just suddenly makes that character so much more believable, and therefore you start to care about them. And when they do die or are in danger, you're worried. It's not just chicken in the bin. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think Quarrel's almost like, well, he was clearly one of the first, but he's the proper blueprint of what Bond ally should be in many ways, or what can be, you know, from that region. Okay, maybe not Jamaica, but someone who knows, you know, I don't know, knows the environment and everything, can provide local intelligence. Yeah. You come to like them. There comes to be a relationship, you know, a positive relationship between him and Bond. And then, you know, if he is, like you say, Chris, in danger or when he dies, you know, you do feel something. And I think it's interesting as well, because it's something I would like to see more of in the current films. And that doesn't, you know, in this film, that doesn't mean that Felix is made redundant. You know, Felix is also in this film. But so that doesn't mean that you can't have like another good ally who you know, the audience sort of root for and who Bond connects with.
They couldn't both go on the island, though, could they? Like, Felix wouldn't go with him. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It's better someone with local knowledge.
Adds to the fact that even he as a local, he's also kind of he believes they are dragons. You know,
I really like that, and that
also adds to the danger. It's like, well, if he believes it, and you think, oh no, it can't be. But it just goes to show that it's not just him. Honey Rider thinks there are dragons there as well, not tanks. And it could be seen as, oh well, you know, locals are a bit thick. You know, of course it's not a dragon. Yeah. You know, it's a tank. But if you've never seen a tank before, flamethrower, it looks like a dragon. It's actually painted like a dragon, is it? It's got teeth and everything. So I think he's and I think his sort of the worry of him going onto the island and going too far and coming across that, again, just ramps up the tension, and it just builds just so nicely. And I think he's a great character who adds a lot to this film.
I think in general, when you think of allies, it probably is generally divided into three types of allies. You have the kind of ally that is directly referred to. So you are going to meet Felix Leiter of the CIA. You are going to meet Sandra Dinner's Station Eye, that kind of thing there. And then you have their contact. So that's the second one. So for example, Jack Wade, I'm going to pass you on to Zukovsky. And this one, Felix Leiter, this is my friend Quarrel. And the third one is the ally of circumstance. So it's basically one who isn't a contact from anywhere, but has just fallen into the plot. So Draco is one of them. Cameron Shaw in The Living Daylights is one of them. He's there by coincidence that he is basically in a prison, and because he has been let out, he is now an ally to James. In general, I think the second batch is the hardest to get right. The friend of a friend, like the friend of the contact. I think that they are usually secondary characters. And as we get onto Thunderball, I think Thunderball's allies in this list are very good examples of secondary characters that are relatively forgettable. And especially in the Connery era, the initial contacts are some of the most charismatic characters. You think of Kerim Bey, you think of Tiger, very charismatic characters. But what's great about Quarrel is that whilst he's a secondary character, Felix is the first, and he, you know, there's that line that Felix says is that Quarrel's just helping with our investigation. It sounds like he's just a local who's just giving him a helping hand, but he very much comes to the forefront. And the relationship I feel that's built in this film is not so much Bond and Felix, but it's actually Bond and Quarrel. I love the character of Quarrel. I think he's given a lot to do, like in the time he's got. You can, as Chris says, you can genuinely feel the fear that he has when he goes to Crab Key. And actually, it's completely justified. There's not a dragon, but there's real danger.
The reveal is almost
completely justified. Yes. We talk about Bond being for for all ages, and of course it is. But can you imagine being a kid in 1962 and going watching this oh, that guy's just been like set on fire.
Oh, it's horrible scream.
It's harrowing stuff. And it's very daring. I bet at the cinema people had not seen things like that in films before. It's absolutely brilliantly done. And you can feel Connery's emotion when Quarrel passes away. So I don't know if we're doing like a ranking or putting people through, but I would certainly say that Quarrel for me, especially in that second batch of characters, that contacts of the initial contact is one of the very best.
Well, I'll make a note, John, of the front runners and, you know, one out of one, a bit like Lazenby.
Absolutely.
Dare I say the P word for, you know, a 1962 film to have quite a prominent black character in it? Progressive. No. I think so. No.
Yes. There are a few people online who highlight about how there's a line where Bond tells Quarrel to get his shoes and stuff, which isn't great. But yes, it is still great to have a black actor as one of his main allies.
And quite a few, of course, local, you know, local people in Jamaica. Because often, I think that was one of my only criticisms of Octopussy, was maybe there could have been an Indian Bond girl. But we do, at least we get, you know, Sadruddin, we get Vijay. Skyfall, sorry to keep, you know, banging, we've mentioned this before, but he goes to China, but he doesn't, well, Macau, he doesn't meet anyone from the area. You know, nobody. I think it helps you feel like you're there, because it's not only the buildings, it's not only the sort of the look of the place, it's the feel of the place through the characters. So, Lieutenant Hip.
Yeah.
Just, he really, really gets
you. Yeah, he's the guide. Yeah. These are the guides who are able to show Bond around, and it makes it more believable that he's, sometimes it's the first time he's visited that city. You know, and he gets the lowdown, and obviously as the audience, you get to hear that, and you get exposed to the sides of cities and towns and stuff that you don't normally kind of see, the tourist traps type things. I think, and it also makes it, you know, it stops Bond being this one-man army, you know, that he does actually need allies. He can't just go in and solve everything and kill everyone and, you know, save the day. I think it makes it much more believable that, you know, he has a team and support, and he isn't an expert in everything, and he does have to rely on other people.
You know, the best franchises, you know, we all the other ones, Indiana Jones, he's got, you know, John Rhys-Davies, hasn't he, Denham Elliott, Batman needs people in circumstances, Ethan Hunt has got a team around him, probably more so than Bond, I just think.
You could argue that Spectre was a bit Mission Impossible.
God.
In the pub. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Let's go down to the hills of Rome.
We're going to do a special episode on that pub. I'm absolutely obsessed. Right, From Russia With Love, we of course done a big review of that, one of our early reviews, and Kerim Bey is obviously the one of the biggest allies, and alright, we'll put him through to the final already. I mean, he's sailing through, isn't he? But Kerim Bey, of course, we chatted. John and Chris were on the episode. So, Math, I'll start with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on...
Again, where I've said about Quarrel, I think Kerim Bey is another real, you know, he's very different to Quarrel. He's a different kind of ally, but he's charming. He, you know, that's his line, but he is charming. He has charisma. You feel, you know... It would never cross my mind that this character doesn't have the sort of knowledge and intelligence that he does of Istanbul and all the inner workings of all the power struggle and, you know, and everything that's going on and all the different sort of forces that are at work there. I think he's a brilliant character. Again, you know, he meets not a particularly nice end, and it's quite sad. It's a different kind of horrifying when Bond goes into the train carriage and finds him dead, and both of them dead. I don't know, it's like, blimey, you know, it's almost like a murder. It becomes not like Murder on the Orient Express, but
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, yeah, but
no,
I find it quite, yeah, sad and stunning, or, you know, shocking. I don't know. Yeah, but he again he's right up there. He's a brilliant character and superbly portrayed by Pedro Armendariz. And again, you know, tragic circumstances around that.
We went into detail about that, so we won't go over his background. But yeah, clearly, because he was so ill, he had to basically rush release, and they had to come back and finish the film, some of the scenes later, and go back. And I think Terence Young and had to have a few stand-ins for him. And he did, yeah, he killed himself not too long after, because he was in so much pain in hospital with cancer. So it's so tragic. Yeah, we mentioned Irma Bunt as well. So yeah, there's quite a few of the actors in Bond have had a very difficult personal lives as well. Bernard Lee was one we touched upon in that episode, I think, as well.
Tragically, the guy who played Locke.
And Michael Gothard, and Jill Gothard. Bennett in the same film, both since killed themselves. It's pretty tragic.
Sort of tastelessly to fit that in, but it is, the sacrificial lamb is one of the tropes, isn't it, of some of these allies.
Yeah, but I don't feel that Quarrel or Kerim Bey are in it to be killed to progress the plot particularly. Like, it does, you know, it provides a bit more, but you feel that it's the circumstances which end up with them being killed rather than, you know, just being put in to be killed, if that makes any sense at all.
No. Quarrel's maybe a bit more Bond's fault, isn't it? Kerim Bey, he's not Bond's fault.
Yeah, he knows what he's getting into, doesn't he? And you know, he's experienced. He is at the heart of espionage in that city. You know, he knows, as he says, we're spying on them and they're spying on us. So he knows how it works, doesn't he? So he's not naive to the dangers of it. And he's got such a great setup as well. He's got that amazing office, and then the underground.
The rowboat to the... Yeah,
and then the periscope. It's like...
So good, isn't it?
Guy's living the dream.
John, can you do an impression of him talking about one of the bad guys?
Oh, yeah.
Quilenko.
Thank you.
Quilenko.
Another buzz around,
Chris is right. He really gives you that world of espionage. Him and Tanaka, they really are part of the Secret Service, aren't they? The way they do things, you really feel that. He's a cracking character. You feel something towards his death. It's very Hitchcockian when you go in and you see two men lying dead on the floor, Bond completely oblivious.
Quite a place you've got here. The Emperor Constantine built it as a reservoir 1600 years ago.
Really?
My daily exercise at 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Tie her up, will you? Mind your head now. Underneath the Russian consulate, a present from your Navy. Our friends were turned out while the Public Works Ministry conducted a survey. The story was that the heavy traffic was shaking the foundations. By the time the place was declared safe, I had this installed.
I can see everything M said about you is right.
Though why I stay in this mad business?
Though it could be that you find selling rugs a bore.
My friend, you should be a mind reader. Head of the table is General Vasily, Director of Military Intelligence. On his left, Kozlovsky, Chief of Security. Opposite him, Benz, one of his agents. I can't see the face of the other man, the one the general is shouting at.
He's giving him a hell of a blowing up for something.
It's too bad we can't hear as well as see.
Tell me, does our girl Romanova ever come to this room?
Sometimes, with messages.
I can see the face of the other man now.
Krylenko. So he's back. Another Bulgarian they use as a killer. Just the man for the limpet mine job. I've had trouble with him before. But he's stayed out of Istanbul for over a year now. Take a look. You should remember him. This man kills for pleasure.
Nice face. Just a moment. A girl's just come in.
Probably Romanova. She's the only one who's allowed to. How does she look to you?
Well, from this angle, things are shaping up nicely.
Without making it yet another Craig dig, Bond does take some of the items from Kerim Bey, but he had to pass on to his
Brilliant.
Son. They had not to take for himself. And I think that is a really nice moment just to show that there has been a relationship built. These two, when they talk, they're not just work colleagues. There has been a genuine rapport built. They have the same taste in many things.
Lads.
And yeah, very much so. Very much so. And even like when they, I can't remember what the guy, the Turkish secret agent who they basically like they trap and Bond, they're mocking him about his tailor, don't like the look of his tailor and all that. And
you can,
Benz, that's the guy. Benz. And you can tell that Kerim Bey is fully on board with this kind of banter because this is his world that he's in as well. He loves it. He's a cracking character. And he's given so much screen time as well in that film in the first hour, and the film's all the better for it.
Would have got an Oscar nomination, wouldn't he, if it was in the Craig era, a performance like that, easily. That's not a diss to the Craig era. It's more that those kind of roles that would be given more prominence and more sort of fanfare. I mean, he was at the time, obviously, and he's always been heralded as a great performance. But goodness me, I mean, what more do you want? It is inviting you into that world, like you say, so charismatic. Even to come up against Connery in the charisma stakes and almost beat him is pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's true.
And they have great chemistry, the two of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfinger, because we're not including Felix, I can't really...
Felix hangs around with a couple of other old men in hats, like, doesn't he?
Yeah, they're so old, aren't they? Well, they seem to be much older than they would be now.
But they're not really...
He bungles his way through this on his own, doesn't he? Yeah, Tilly Masterson is sort of a slight
ally, there's no,
I suppose you could say.
There's no romance.
But she's completely not wanting to help, and she doesn't want Bond anywhere near, you know, sort of ruining her chance to kill Ulrich.
No.
Yeah. Right, so we will move on to Thunderball, where John has already identified with not really a massive array of allies. We've got Paula Kaplan from the CIA. We are including CIA, don't worry, just not Felix. So that's allowed. Yeah, so she's Bond's ally in Nassau. Bit of banter. Nothing happens between them as far as she's of course played by Martine Bezic, who was one of the Gypsy Girls. Yeah, she's kidnapped by Vargas, and then a hero's death. She won't talk, so commits suicide. So quite harrowing again.
Yeah.
It's a running theme.
Yeah, I mean, she isn't given very much to do. No. She isn't even given an introduction. The first time you see her is basically she's on the boat trying to pull in Bond, and you think, oh, who's this? And it takes Connery to actually say, oh, Paula, to know who she is.
Pauline.
But, yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking. <You've> been... Sorry. There's an ally called Pauline. Sorry. No offense, Bill. Sorry, John.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, so to commit suicide, it's quite a way to go, isn't it, when you've not given much of a big part, to say I'm going to kill myself as opposed to give away the information for the mission. I mean, fair play to her. She does as much as she can with the part. I think that's the best way of saying it.
Quite a classic way, isn't it? Cyanide capsules.
Yeah. So old-fashioned, but very crisp. Like the limousine driver in Doctor No.
Yeah.
That was horrible as kids. Yeah. Goodness me. Well, traumatised by these things. We've also got Pinder, who... I think Lucy Pinder, yeah. Bond's contacting.
Flipping heck. That's a blast from the past, dear me. Isn't she a lawyer or something
probably,
now?
Yeah. Another reference to Zoo and Maxim on the podcast. Yeah. We mentioned it once. I can't remember now. Was it like Denise Richards or Britt Eklund was voted sexist in Maxim or something? Yeah. So there you go, yeah. Nuts and zoo. Gone. Anyway, Pinder is not a sexy woman. He's a man. And he, He comes under John's first category. No. Yes, first category.
Second.
Oh,
second.
For goodness sake. He's the Bahaman.
Paul Origin.
Yeah.
They're via Felix.
Is it?
He's the intelligence officer Felix, in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
He is Bond's contact, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's British, isn't he?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Anyway, the guy who played him, Earl Cameron, another pioneering black actor, he only died last year and he was 102.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow.
So, yeah, incredible stuff, yeah. And I think he was. I think he might have been born in America, but he lived most of his life in England. So.
Amazing.
He's quite a crisp guy, isn't he? He seems to be very, you know, affable.
Good shirt.
Good shirt, yeah. Well, that's another, yeah. Like you, isn't it?
It's like
absolutely loving being abroad, you know, in the sun. Yeah. Come to the next person who I think we'll have to sail through into the final. In fact, no, we won't go to him. We'll start with Mr. Henderson, who will sail through into the final. Yeah. Much taller, of course, in this part than he is in Diamonds Are Forever. If you hear that review, if you ever get a chance to hear that review, we do. I think David was talking about how they... He's like 6'3" or something, 6'4", Charles Gray, but yeah, they didn't want to make him look too tall in Diamonds Are Forever. Maybe because, you know, they didn't want him to appear taller than Bond, but... Yeah, so he's Bond's British contact, obviously, living in Japan. Yeah, they're having a sort of very cosy little chat, aren't they, in a lovely Japanese set, actually. Mm. You know, he's only in it a bit, but he gets a few famous things. Of course, he gets the martini order wrong, which is a very famous little clip that's shown on various clip reels for Bond, isn't it? Yeah, he's giving crucial intelligence to Bond, and then... Does anyone want to do an impression of his?
I'm trying to think what the lines are when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the way he sort of. Yeah. Is he like slightly sweating as well?
I love it. And then
iconic as children. Oh,
sorry.
That and then the next 5-10 minutes are just absolutely incredible, aren't they? The film, one of the best fights and the tense, safe.
He makes a real impact in the limited time he's given. And I think it's quite a nice, you know, because we do get we do get plenty of Japanese characters, but it's quite interesting having the sort of the English, British person who has acclimatized or is in with the culture there, and I think he makes quite an interesting impact and memorable death as I've tried to portray. Perhaps unsuccessfully.
You'll hear the clip now, I'm sure.
I believe you wanted to ask me some questions.
Yes. Excuse me.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got it right. I lost that in Singapore in 42. Oh, you must excuse this rather odd mixture of styles, but I refuse to go entirely Japanese. Very fond of some of these old things. You've never been to Japan before, have you?
No, never.
I myself have lived here for 28 years, and I'm just beginning to know my way about. Oh, that's a... Stirred, not shaken. That was right.
Russian vodka, well done.
Yeah, I get it from the doorman at the Russian embassy, among certain other things. Now, look. I think London's theory about the missile being fired from this country is right. I don't know how or where, and don't ask me who's doing it either. But I've a fairly shrewd idea that a major foreign power is behind it all.
You mean apart from Russia and Japan?
Oh, it's not Russia, old boy, I'm sure of that. It's not Japan, either. Although, a large Japanese industrial concern is...
I remember looking at, he's like fourth on the billing as well, isn't he, in the twice? Like, really? Yeah, he's really, really high
fifth
up.
Fifth in Dom's offer.
And he's in...
No.
I mean, he's in one scene, isn't he? But he does as much as he can in that one scene. He's great. I love the whole metal leg, wooden leg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Let's say prosthetic leg. That's yes. Great, great little tidbit that, you know, just like, how do we know if he's real?
Yeah.
Bang. Oh. Let's just see. I mean,
so good.
So Bond.
It's great, that. Yeah, very Bond. I've got to admit, the death scared the life.
Yeah, it is quite.
It couldn't work out.
It just, because there's no noise.
Yeah.
There's no noise or anything at all to signal. It's just that he freeze frames and it becomes Madame Tussauds waxwork. And it's just, it's like,
Bond just shuts him down. And it's like a coward's assassination almost, isn't it? Because he just, as soon as he must have done that, he must have run the guy, mustn't he?
Yeah.
Because then Bond obviously tries to get,
Love it.
Scary. Yeah, very good. No, good character. Dicko Henderson, I only found that out recently. I mean, is that mentioned or is that just sort of more trivia? Or, but why has he got a
I was just reading
Japanese name.
Reading his character, because he's in the book. He's called Richard Lovelace Dicko Henderson, and he's Australian.
Oh, okay.
He's a field agent for Her Majesty's Australian Diplomatic Corps.
Wow.
Station J. And he actually survives. So he has a fairly decent role in the novel.
Yeah.
But obviously, Charles Gray, he does steal it, doesn't he? He's just...
Mm.
He can understand why he asked him back. Because he's just...
Yeah, yeah.
He's such a strange... I don't know if we talk about that in Downs of Fred. But he's such a strange presence, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
He's sort of sinister, but also very likeable at the same time.
Yeah.
It's great. He's the same, isn't it? Much longer, isn't it?
That's interesting, though. I mean, presumably then, Australia might be their nearest sort of country base to Japan. Because they probably wouldn't have had they don't. Obviously, the Secret Service in this is the Japanese one, isn't it? With our next guy, Taiga Tanaka. Another classic ally, identical ally in a way. He's brilliant, again, charismatic, introduces Bond, introduces the viewer to Japan in many ways. Well, you've got... I mean, you can laugh at it, the scene. The sexiful scene, basically. In the. Well, it tells us about Japanese culture, the crucial stuff like, men having bare chests and things like that.
Japanese proverb.
Yeah.
Men never make nest in bare tree. Yeah.
Great. Absolutely love it. But, like, the... Just is it the introduction to him so good? Like, but Bond going out and shooting everything, it's so real. I don't know, it just makes you so love to be a spy, wouldn't you? And gets you so excited. And he's just on the Tannoy speaker system,
yeah,
to start with, isn't he? And he's in that chair, Bond, in that gorgeous suit,
yeah.
It's so good. What an underrated film. I know we hate that word underrated, but it must be. Must be now, isn't it?
I love it. It's great.
An underground train.
He's
got it set up. Yeah. He knows exactly. Yeah. All the latest technology and stuff. And he sort of looks like the Japanese Bond.
This
handsome, young, charismatic guy. Obviously he's much more senior than Bond. He's in charge of it all rather than just like a field agent. But he's. If you're doing a Japanese version of Bond, I could see him play it.
Yeah,
he's not has that look.
He's not like a Japanese M, is he? For instance, he's much more near a Bond, isn't he?
He looks like he'd get stuck.
Yeah, definitely.
Interestingly, he's in it sort of throughout the film, isn't he? Often with these allies, they're sort of in it just for a sequence or two, but he's right the way through and pretty key.
Doesn't die.
Yeah.
No.
So. Yeah. First one not to, I think.
Put that in.
Okay. Yeah. No, Pinder. Pinder's now a lawyer.
Good. Yeah. I mean, he's the sliding floor into the chair. It's very Thunderbirds. I remember watching Thunderbird Thunderbird 2.
Shane Rimmer.
You had to slid down into the chair, and it was very much like that. It's absolutely brilliant. What I do find quite funny is that you've got this guy who Secret Service. Nobody knows what he looks like. He's very inconspicuous, but then when he needs to, he'll go and get a helicopter with a massive magnet in the middle of Tokyo City and just go and pick up a car and dump it. You know, like, it's class, that. It's class.
Obsessed.
It's like, well, I'll be secret, but, you know, when I'm coming out, I'm making sure the world sees, you know.
They love the magnets and vehicles, don't they?
Yeah.
I am so very pleased to meet you, Bonsan. I really am. Permit me to introduce myself. My name is Tanaka. Please call me Tiger.
If you're Tanaka, how do you feel about me?
I love you.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
As you said in the quiz, Tetsuro Tamba. He'd previously been in a film called Seventh Dawn. Sounds very that era Western. Sorry, war film. Directed by Lewis Gilbert, so I don't know whether that's where they got the connection from. Yeah, he was dubbed by a guy called Robert Rietti. Sorry again to ruin any. A bit like Gert Frobe, he could speak English, and I think he presumably did all his lines. But then I don't know whether it was dubbed for the whole thing. But this guy Robert Rietti, can you name me? I've three other characters I've got here. There might be more.
Yeah.
That he is dubbed.
I think he does Largo, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the same voice, everyone,
It's a great voice. It's a cracking voice.
It's a great, The other two are a bit more obscure.
Like, really obscure, or...?
Very, very quickly in the beginning of Doctor No. I think the very first scene, is it? I can't remember. He's basically...
One of the blind mice?
Well, yeah, he's the main reason Bond's there, but I can't even remember seeing him or hearing him or...
Strangways, or...?
Yeah, Strangways, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And the other one is John's favourite scene in John's favourite film.
He's in Die Another Day.
No. John's favourite film, apart from the beginning and the end. He's in the beginning.
I am totally lost. I'm goading up. Oh, you're always goading. Oh, he's not Blofeld, is he?
He is.
He absolutely. Seems to have an Italian accent. Robert Rietti. I have funny. Just think about that. Like, Rob, are you still available, mate? Yeah, I know. You've not been in it since, 14 years now. We've got a character we'd like you to What is going on? Like, yeah, definitely, yeah. Can you say, all you need to do for your audition is, can you say, buy me a delicatessen and stay in the stadium? You got it.
Can you do a laugh?
Yeah. Oh, it's a laugh. Again, scary as children. I mean, Aki, I suppose, is an ally, isn't she? But again, we mentioned her in the Bond Girls episode. I suppose Kissy will be as well. But Aki's more of the classic ally in that she helps Bond look around and go to the sumo wrestling, don't they? And fall in love, and then it's tragically cut short, isn't it? Awful. I know Matt's,
Pardon?
She's dead.
Well, yeah.
I
think it's better than that line, and perhaps the delivery suggests, but maybe a little bit more. I'm not tears or anything.
Always to the mission, never to his friends.
Yeah. Yeah. But I find her, I really like her character, and... Again, I do think there's a bit of chemistry there, and then when she is killed, it's sad.
Yeah, she's got a bit about her, hasn't she? You know, how she leads Bond into the underground bit, so then he has to walk towards her. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Kissy's a bit more goody-goody, isn't she?
Yeah. Which is just outrageous.
It was sarcastic.
Yeah. And
I know.
And of course, when you'll need to take a wife, and then they sort of move towards each other, like, regretfully impossible,
Yeah, why?
I think it's because it has to be a local woman. Is that why? I think.
So the So the locals would buy it, yeah.
But, you know...
They know she's a local girl.
Sean Connery's Bond there is pretty much saying, yeah, I think... Can we get married, actually? Yeah, will you marry me?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
To Aki.
Why have we never done that before? Yeah. Like, what's that Bond film where his wife, where he gets married and... Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. the one in the end of the 60s. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you only the twice, yeah. That's the one.
His wife dies, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Aki, yeah. Yeah. You know, getting all completely confused now, yeah. Only because of the way we're doing this podcast in a sad, regimented way. You know, Aki and obviously Kissy will be... If you hear our episode on Bond Girls, they're covered in more detail there. We'll do Diamonds Before Our Majesties because, of course, John is quite right. Chronologically, if you think of it that way, then it's not as ridiculous that there is no reaction to Bond's wife being there. So. And it's Sean Connery.
And that.
Yeah. You are like Sean Connery. Very handsome.
Yeah.
Was it, is that on Double Impact?
Yeah, Double Impact, the Jean-Claude Van Damme film, yeah. Yeah, you are very handsome. Also like Sean Connery. What? And then, yeah. Inexplicable.
For your reconsideration again, you know, an advert for them. They do that episode and you will cry laughing at it, yeah. And the film, which is a joke, but I love it. Diamonds Are Forever. I mean, the only ally, again, apart from Felix, listen to that episode, but people seem to quite disdainful, aren't they, of that Felix for some reason. I don't know, seems like a nice guy. But anyway. The I suppose Willard White is an ally, isn't he? He is. Well, he is, isn't he? I mean, he's a bit more complicated.
He has no reason to help him.
He's not a villain. He isn't Blofeld. I can't stress that enough.
He could just be freed, and that could be it.
Yeah. He's there on the helicopter.
But he gives him the helicopter and stuff.
He was in it far more than I remembered at the end. Like, I always just think of him as in the... Well, Bert Saxby, that's about it.
The final scene, isn't he?
John Jones
says about, I'll get the captain to steer the ship in circles. He's like...
He's there.
He forget, doesn't he?
He's from being reclusive to being unnecessary.
Tell him it's fire.
Bert Saxby!
Yeah. His voice and his lines, you know, I think I know them all. Well, I might sort of somewhere, I know them all.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea what he's doing in the plot or, you know, what. What? Who he's?
Well,
he's class. Crucial. I stand by it. He's class.
Yeah,
he's a singer, isn't he? He's like a sort of country and western singer. But he absolutely holds up, and he sort of gets the tone of the film as well.
Does. Absolutely, that it is.
He's not serious. That he's a bit
slightly OTT.
Was a bit broad. Yeah.
So was the film.
Paul Shane said it was
like
broad.
The little joke. Yeah. I think he's great. And he actually helps, you know, the whole thing where Bond's, you know, asking about, and he says, and he realizes, you know, that the oil tank is like, shouldn't be there and things like that. So, I think you're right. He is an ally. Again, like what John was saying, by almost circumstances. But he could have done one. He's, you know, he's a billionaire who's
Howard Hughes,
you know, under house arrest kind of thing, being kidnapped. He could have just said, "Right, well, I'm done." But he doesn't. He turns up at the lab.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
All sorts of stuff.
He was enjoying himself lying down on his couch. He wasn't moving for anyone. And the minute that James said, "Baja California,"
That's right. That's the only reason.
I haven't got enough of Baja.
Spelt with a J. So.
Is it?
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah, barge. Like, what's onion, that about? And then when I was watching, I heard the line.
Onion barge, yeah. Next time you go to the curry house, can I have an onion barge? Yeah.
And then, you know, sorry, what do you mean? Baja!
Baja! Draw it for me.
FBI? CIA?
No, British intelligence, Mr. White. James Bond.
I see you met my friend Bambi and Thumper.
Yes, we did have a bit of a chat.
What the hell's happened to me and what can I do about it?
Let's get out of here first and I'll explain to you en route.
Tell Maxwell to hit the penthouse.
Hey,
Saxby.
Bert Saxby?
Yeah.
Tell him he's fired.
Yeah.
Math, I'll give you an opportunity, because again, Chris and John were on the Diamonds Review. Just brief thoughts on the film.
On the film?
Well, yeah, go on. I mean, you never know when you'll get another.
Yeah, film. Yeah. Well, again, it's one we watched so much when we were younger, and, you know, I absolutely loved it when I was younger. Was quite scared of a lot of it. I think
horror film.
It's pretty weird. The sort of the oil rig ending gets more and more forgettable the longer it goes on. Although I like the fact it's got the 007 theme in it.
Disengage.
Yeah. There are some, I don't think, you know, him, Charles Gray as Blofeld doesn't quite work. Obviously, him in drag is just absolutely bonkers.
Well,
and I have no idea.
You'll need to hear David on the review.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no idea what
him to defend it.
I like Tiffany Case. Again, she, as the longer it goes on, the less influential she is and the more silly she gets. But I like her. But I think Wince and Kidd are absolutely brilliant. I think they're almost cinematic famous serial killers or something. Like they leave away, you know, their killings are varied and quite scary. You know, pulling the corpse from the from the river, and scorpion guy. But they're brilliant. The music is just magnificent, and their theme. And I really like the way they're better than Blofeld in it in a lot of ways. You know, they're almost a real threat.
Oh, yeah.
They're not sort of, you never see them with him. I love the way they sort of come in and out of the film.
Yeah.
I think they're probably the best thing in it. Bizarre film, really, really weird, but again, lots to like about it. Lots and lots to like about it.
The gorilla, presumably.
Oh yeah, dear me, that was terrifying as a child. Is it just a joke? Do people see that as a joke or something? I thought, you know. Is it racist as well? Actually, I'd never thought about that. I thought it was some really scary.
Well, because it's. Is it a woman from the Amazon or something?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a woman, and they say that she's from Nairobi, South Africa, which in itself is horrendous, because it's like, wrong country. But then, it's this black lady who turns to
the
gorilla.
The sound effects while he's doing it, and the guy, the guy doing it is weird. Like,
God forbid.
Be careful, be very careful, you know. Absolutely terrifying. But it's just an astonishingly strange film.
It's so quotable.
It is
such a quotable film, though.
Oh, yeah.
Shady tree. Adored your rat.
Well, the cremation mouth, the funeral.
Oh, dear me.
Absolutely horrible.
Really terrifying. That's the most Sean Connery's looked in danger, perhaps. He looks absolutely
panicked, isn't he?
Yeah.
But again, how good, though, that. They knock him out and he still doesn't see them. So Bond has never seen them, and it's that smelling.
Of course. Absolutely crucial.
It's so good, that, isn't it?
If you're enjoying the Really 007 podcast, why not follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter? Effective immediately. We're not a country club, 007.
Right, here we go. On Her Majesty's Secret Service. The George Lazenby era, which lasted slightly fewer years than the Daniel Craig era. right. one film in a few months. Not bad.
Prolific.
Prolific man, yeah. If only we got more. We are here to talk about Allies tonight, and we're served up with... In many ways, Draco is a bit like Karen Bay, isn't he? He's extremely charismatic. Very charismatic, and, you know, the point man that Bond meets... But he does have a more personal connection, of course.
Yeah, and he's got a moustache.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does he? Yeah. Okay, so John and Chris are massive fans of this film, but Chris had it as his top film on his list. So I'll start with Chris on his views on Draco.
Yeah. I think very much cut from the same cloth as Karim Bey. I think he's and it really interesting character. You know, someone who's has become almost sort of respectable via crime, organized crime, is obviously seen as
except crime. Sorry,
you know that he's. I love about it. Again, he's a really great actor who holds the screen, who is a little bit frightening at times. You know, again, you're introduced to him. It's like, do you trust him? Do you not? It's like, why is he sort of dragging Bond, you know, away from his golf to meet him? You know, and this humor there straight off. As soon as he meets Bond and he throws the dagger, he turns and looks at the calendar and he, with his glasses, no, you missed, and you know, or it's straight off. There's you know, that kind of sort of bouncing off each other, and I think and I think Jess probably did cover this in the Bond Girl once. The only the criticism of it is the whole trying to get Bond to marry her is. Should we say is a little bit creepy, you know, £1 million down, you know, if you'll get my, you know, if you'll marry my daughter. I know obviously in the book there's more to it in terms of because of what where Tracy has been and what's happened to her, it sort of makes more sense. But it is a little bit kind of a little bit odd. Again, he has a private army, he has helicopters, he has access to all these resources that are just what Bond needs, you know, and obviously they come together for the common good of obviously saving Tracy. He turns up, he gets stuck in, great. And one of my favourite bits is him at the end of the film at the wedding, having a laugh with M over, you know, with a glass of wine, talking about, you know, it's such a lovely way of and what I was going to say is that what John was mentioning before about the idea of the next one, you know, Diamonds Are Forever, bringing him back. Mm. Could you imagine what you could do with
Absolutely.
That character? Does he continue to be an ally to Bond? Mm. You know, Bond, who didn't protect his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, or is he actually going to go with him to get Blofeld and the revenge? And funnily enough, I was just looking, and that's what happens. There was let me just try and find it. So in 1999, Raymond Benson, who wrote all those continuation kind of novels, brought Draco back in one of his novels called Never Dream of Dying. And
sorry.
That was a great title. It's better than No Time to Die. And basically, this is what happens: is that that Draco kind of fakes his own death, goes into hiding, you know, because of obviously what happened to his daughter, things like this, and then ends up sort of during one Bond's mission, clashes with, kind of bumps into Bond, and he thinks that Bond's trying to kill him because this explosion happens, and then he tries to kill Bond and stuff. What that for me is that there's much more rich material. Could you imagine if you started off, right, you know, Henry Cavill has been cast and we want to do something different. And just the notion that we actually reference that Bond has been married before, like in License to Kill, doesn't have to be a big thing, but that is so much part of his character.
Yeah.
You know, let's just not try and keep it, you know, sweep under the carpet like they did after, you know, with Diamonds Are Forever and everything since, apart from that bald chap in Fiora and things like, you know, like, it just needs to be, that to me would be, wow, let's dig into that. And Draco's such a great character because he is not only linked with him because on paper, really, they shouldn't be allies because he's a career criminal. But the then, because of their daughter, and because they've got this common enemy, they become really great, you know, a really great force together. He is what for a film that is full of really interesting characters in large and small, kind of you know, on screen, you know, in terms of roles and things. He really stands out as just this brilliant character who makes it much more richer than it could have been. You know, if you take him out of it, the film itself is a lot less interesting. So I think, yeah, for me, I think he's a highlight of the film and the franchise. I think he's a great, great character.
Do not kill me, Mr. Bond. At least not until we've had a drink. Then if you wish, I'll give you another chance. I'm Draco, of Draco Construction. Mm-hmm. But today is the 13th, Commander.
I'm superstitious.
A martini for our guest, Alim.
A pleasure.
Shaken, not stirred.
Of course.
I've been informed of everything you've done for my daughter.
Everything?
Don't worry. Don't worry about that. What you did, the way you behaved, might be the beginning of some kind of therapy. She needs help.
Your help.
I find her fascinating, but she needs a psychiatrist, not me.
What she needs is a man to dominate her. To make love to her enough to make her love him.
Do you envisage them? I never thought about this until I was looking at this episode. You've mentioned it a bit in the Raymond Benson novel, but yeah, what would have happened afterwards? Would he, because of course Bond's an orphan, would he have seen him as like a sort of surrogate dad almost? Harrowing, isn't it, really? Again, the thing, but obviously you couldn't continue that going forward, could you? But, well.
But would that would make
touch upon it every
more sense with the, you know, Inspector, if it, at the end of it, the you know, that
yeah.
It was actually him. The you know, hang on a minute. Oh, it's not my foster brother. It's my ex-father-in-law, you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I didn't protect his daughter who died. That's suddenly miles more interesting, you know.
Yeah,
but,
it was me all along.
I'm not Purvis and Wade. So.
Oh.
Yes.
Well,
Draco is very much an ally of circumstance. He is not ever referred to by M. The irony of this film is that it's about on Her Majesty's Secret Service, and he never is actually, for half the film, he's not working for the Secret
Very
Service.
Yeah.
And that's the great part about it. And every time he's not, he's in contact with Draco. At the start, obviously, when you know Draco gives him the context to Edmund Gunbolt and Jürgen Blofeld in Bern. And then at the end with the Piss Gloria fight, there's that eerie scene with the wedding where M and Draco talk about a mission that they did, and like they both know that they're actually complete opposition, but they're there just laughing about this moment that they had at a previous fight.
So
in 1972, The Godfather was released. I am going with this somewhere.
Oh, no, well.
Somewhere, trust me. And without going all Partridge, I don't think the best thing about The Godfather is the camera angles. But what I do think... But one of the things that's praised about The Godfather is the sympathetic nature that is given to the Mafia and how they are portrayed as human beings. Well, 3 years before, this was already done in James Bond.
Here we go.
So we talk about James Bond copying the Oscars now. But actually, a lot of these ideas on the original stuff, when Bond was itself, there are then ideas that are taken by Oscar-winning films, fantastic films, and used. Draco is portrayed as an incredibly likable character, and yet, make no mistake about it, he runs Europe's second largest crime syndicate. He could quite easily be the villain of a film. So when we talk about him being an ally, he's an ally because of the circumstance. Similar to Columbo, but I actually think he's far more sinister than Columbo. I think the things that he's involved in are far more serious. He is fantastically played by Gabriel Fossetti. Gabriel Fossetti. I actually knew that one. I actually knew his name. I know the line about what she needs is a man to dominate her, is quite aged. But what I will say is I actually think it fits with early 70s mafia Don, who doesn't have a close relationship with his daughter, doesn't see her very often, only sees her once a year. So, and he thinks she's going wild. And when you are in the business where the main way to get something is brute force, it is quite an understandable thought process to go, she needs a man to sort her out. Not saying it's right, I'm just saying that that's how a gangster probably would think.
Yeah, it's right for the characters.
Exactly. I think it's just a great, great character. I'll put it out there. He's my favourite of all the allies. But that's because there's so many dimensions to him. And you could quite easily see him in a second film as a villain. And I love that about someone when there's like a nebulous kind of feeling about it. I think it's great. He's a brilliant character.
If he was in the Brosnan era, he would have come back probably, wouldn't he?
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't scared of using the same people, were they? Bring it back.
So crisp.
It's the same character, though.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Jodon Baker.
He returns as Jack Wade.
Yeah. Put a Hawaiian shirt on him.
Just go on.
Jimbo!
Yeah.
Just go on farming around.
Moffy? Yeah.
We'll get on to that. We'll do the same quotes again, probably, in a few hours. Math, we're desperate to review Honor Majesty's, but...
I've not much more to add. I think he's right up there. He's a brilliantly memorable ally of the series, one who has significance within the plot of the film. Yeah, I think, you know, great performance, another charismatic character, you know, like we say, in the mold of Karim Bey, but obviously from a completely different background and everything. Mm-hmm. And this sort of unique relationship with Bond in that he's his prospective father-in-law.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something we've never had before or since, and I think that's...
Well, Mr. White.
That's really interesting.
That's Mr. White, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? It really is. They're working together, and there's their relationship is almost a courtship in the same way it is with, you know, with Tracy, that they're sort of getting to know each other. There's a bit of distrust there, and they're kind of, you know, they're not. You know, on paper, they shouldn't be kind of in league, but he's such a well-written...
I love him being part of the attack on Blofeld, you know, Pitts Gloria at the end as well. Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, he's like...
And like I say, him being involved...
He's in with the family then, isn't he, Bond?
Yeah.
Is it called Union Course? It's Corsican, I assume. Well, Godfather, isn't it? But we've got to get on to the main ally of Honor Majesty's, Sean Campbell. I barely remembered Campbell, never mind. And then Sean as well.
Yeah.
Sounds like such a
footballer
from the northeast who didn't quite make it for... Yeah.
But Markan Drago sounds like a Stoke striker, doesn't he? So.
I wish we had him up for
a club. Right, yes. John, Sean, you're a fan of Sean, aren't you?
He's a bit... He's all right. I mean, he's a bit of a... I didn't know he was called Campbell until I saw the credits at the end of the film. But I'm guessing that I'm never entirely sure who he works for, because he obviously works for Draco because he passes the safe cracker in Bern to him. Oh. And Bond hasn't been to M to tell him about Gumball yet. But then he is following Bond on his mission in Pitt's Gloria.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you'd presume would be an instruction from MI6. So I'm never entirely sure who Campbell works for. He's very much the sacrificial lamb of the film.
Do you like his hair?
It's all right.
My notes.
I like his woolly jumper. You know, his woolly jumper's all right. Yeah, it is. You know,
I think you're right. It's not explicit, is it, that who he's working? I do think he is working for MI6. But I think he is very much there as just... It really, you could have two actors play that role and it wouldn't be a big deal because he hasn't really anything got to do. He kind of stands off in the distance and kind of nods or does something. The only bit he actually does in the acting is when he's all like, he's trying to get up onto the
cable thing. Car.
Cable car, that's the word, isn't it? Yeah. The cable car, and he does that whole like... He protests a lot, doesn't he? But yeah, I think I think he has a bigger role in the book from what I can remember. Because I think he's the one he gives up Bond.
Great.
Because while he gets captured. Yeah. But I don't know what happens to him. I assume he gets killed. But he's the one who tells Blofeld that he's Bond, not Hillary Bray. Which just makes it rather than
be a man's name.
Knocking about and Yeah, he's there's not really much to say, is there, about him? He's
more than I know.
I think we've given him more airtime than.
But burn a horse for if you want to be on the show.
Yeah,
yes.
Anyone connected with Honor Majesties is
great.
Really, Douglas.
Join us for part two of The Best Allies, where we spend an inordinate amount of time on J.W. Pepper, Aguil Aubergine, and the mighty Chuck Lee.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.